Blog Talk Radio.
When you see someone that less fortunate than you, don't look down on them, and this is the reason why. If you don't mind, now listen. When you see people living and sleeping in the street with no shelter or no food to eat, when you see a man that has no feet, or when you see a blind man that cannot see.
Welcome to the First Baptist Church of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. It is December the 15th, year of our Lord, 2020, and you are listening to the First Baptist Church of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. We are glad you have joined us tonight to be a part of this Bible study. We hope that you are at home, that you are safe, and that you are taking every precaution to do the things that the health officials have asked us to do during this traumatic time in our nation. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina. And as I like to say, our doors hang on welcome hinges. That means you're always welcome to come and join First Baptist and be a part of the rich religious experience of First Baptist. Because of this pandemic, we are not worshiping in the sanctuary. We are worshiping virtually. So we ask that you will go to our Facebook page. Go to the First Baptist Church of Holly Springs Facebook page. There you can find all the pertinent information concerning First Baptist. You will find the link for the Bible study, which you're listening to right now. Each week, the link is different. So you have to go and find the link if you would like to listen on the internet. Also on the Facebook page, you will find our Sunday morning service. Every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., we go live on Facebook. Starting in January, we'll also be going live on YouTube. But right now, we are on Facebook. Every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are live on Facebook. So go to our Facebook page. Go there. You will find the sermons that we have done this year on Facebook. Our Bible study links are there as well. You can listen to the Bible studies that we have done this year. You will also find information about the church and General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina and the Wake Baptist Association. So we ask that you go there to the Facebook page. You'll find all the information concerning First Baptist. There are three ways in which you can give to the house of God. Of course, every Sunday between the hours of 11 and 12, trustees are there to take care of your financial concerns. You can also mail your tithes or your offerings and contributions to the church. Go to the Facebook page. You'll find the correct mailing address. Also, we have a Cash App to make it convenient for everyone. And that Cash App is the $FBCHS. FBCHS. What stands for First Baptist Holly Springs. You can contribute to the house of God at any time through the Cash App. We want to say shout out to Deacon Grady Walston. That was his music that you heard as we came on tonight. Brother Walston and I will be on our gospel program tomorrow night. I'm going to be interviewing him at 9 o'clock tomorrow night. You can go to his Facebook page and find the link for that. Or you can use the same call-in number and you can listen to the program. We thank God for all of you who listen to us over the internet and those of you who call in on the telephone to hear the Bible study. And of course, that number is area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. You can speak directly to us in the studio tonight as we go forth in our Bible study. Well, beloved, we come down to the end of the year. We have one more Bible study next Tuesday, and then we will take our winter break, and we'll come back after the New Year revival. Our New Year revival is January the 7th and the 8th. January the 7th and the 8th, we may add another day. We're not trying to belabor you or anyone else, but right now we have scheduled for January the 7th and the 8th. You will hear more information Sunday concerning that. We'll come back with our Bible study after the New Year's revival. So next Tuesday will be the last one for the year. We thank God for all of you who have supported First Baptist and the Bible study. We have had many callers on our lines throughout the year. Many of our friends, our Facebook friends, have called in from out of state. We thank God for you as well. And we pray that you will continue to support First Baptist of Holly Springs. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for every person on the line tonight. We thank you for those who are listening over the airwaves, listening over the internet. We pray for those who will listen to this program long after this Bible study is over. We ask God that something be said, something be done tonight that will help you people to continue to give your name the praise. We thank you right now, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Our lesson tonight is the greatest gift of all. The greatest gift of all, and of course you know that is love. We're coming up on the Sunday of love. And the Bible has some very interesting things to say about love. Paul wrote in the book of 1 Corinthians, there in the 13th chapter. We're there tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll pause for you to find that. First Corinthians chapter 13. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians while he was living and ministering in the city of Ephesus. The letter was written between 53 AD and 55 AD. During this time in Ephesus, Paul wrote a letter to the church in Corinth that is not present in the Bible. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 5 and 9. In that letter, Paul addresses sexual immorality, which continued to be a problem in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians, the first letter that Paul wrote included the Christian canon. Paul wrote to further address sexual immorality and division in the church. He had also received a letter from the church of Corinth expressing confusion about marriage, divorce, corporate worship, bodily resurrection, and living in a pagan society. Paul wrote to encourage the Corinthians. He wanted to encourage those people who lived in Corinth and to emphasize the importance of holiness. He also wrote to correct their misunderstanding and abuse of spiritual gifts, which he discussed in chapter 12. This chapter is often misrepresented, which leads to improper application as a mere ode to the virtues of love. Paul was using 1 Corinthians 13 to address specific issues in the Christian church: selfishness, division, abuse of gifts, envying of others' gifts. The Greek term for love used in this chapter in the Bible is called agape. This word is closely associated with the Hebrew term keisi, which refers to God's covenant love for his people. Because of the association, agape became a key word for describing God's character and took on the meaning of a divine love that is deeply loyal. Believers should emulate this kind of love, and Paul highlighted its importance in his letter to the Corinthians. Love is superior spiritual gifts. Paul began to demonstrate his superiority of love. The Corinthians held eloquence in high esteem and were somewhat preoccupied with the gift of tongues. However, even the most sophisticated gifts of tongues, speaking the language of men and angels, is just mere noise without love. And the use and exercise of other spiritual gifts is pointless without love. Prophecy, though it's a desirable gift, is useless without love. Knowledge of the deepest mysteries of God has no value apart from love. Faith, even when it's greater to move mountains, is nothing apart from love. Likewise, boundless generosity is not profitable without love. Willingness to suffer, even to the point of martyrdom, is worthless if the absence of love. God is eternal, and love is eternal. Spiritual gifts not without those things called love. They can even be destructive when not practiced in love. In all the spiritual gifts that we have, if we don't practice those spiritual gifts in love, then they're meaningless. Love is what enriches. It enriches the gift, and it gives the gift value. Therefore, spiritual gifts must be found and exercise only in genuine love for God and his people. And this is why Paul wrote this letter. So there in that first verse, Paul says, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity, I have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. The word charity here means love, heavenly love, affection, goodwill, or benevolence. Agape love means the demonstration of love. It means a disconnecting of your own ego. The person is no longer the center of himself or his universe or his ultimate concern. When one has agape love, he is concerned about others, and others become the center of his concern. More love is a radical reordering of priorities and our ultimate values. We have to reorder our values and reorder our priorities in order to give agape love. See, without love, everything we do is for our own self-gratification and our own benefit. With love, we do it for God and for others. Love is not a feeling. It is what we do for others without regard for self. It is partaking in the very nature of God because God is love. Spirit-inspired speech, spoken in ecstasy, different languages, brilliant human rhetoric, or superhuman entries mean nothing if they are not in love. Any intention or any source that does not come in love has no value and is in vain. If the Spirit of God animates the body, love holds it together. Tongues without love are only noise. And though I have the gift, verse 2, and although I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. The gift of prophecy or preaching is mere entertainment or scolding if it has no love. The effect does not go over, and the motivation is not there if there is no love. The gift of intellectual accomplishment without love leads to contempt and snobbery. The gift of great faith that achieves or sacrifices can only lead to false pride. Without love, none of these gifts edify the body of Christ, and none of these gifts please God without love. That's why he said in verse 3, and though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Benevolence and evil sacrifice can be great for those who are receiving it on the receiving end or in the eyes of the world. You look good in the eyes of the world when you have a benevolent spirit. In terms of your own spiritual maturity, it means nothing. To give out of obligation, self-promotion, or even contempt can profit those who are poor and needy, but it does not profit the giver. Likewise, to seek persecution or to make sacrifice for selfish intentions may very well hurt one's cause more than help it. And I think that's something that we need to understand, because a lot of people will help folk because of self-promotion, because self-sacrifice. You know, a lot of folk help you so they can tell folk they help you. A lot of folk will help you and even loan you money, but they'll tell everybody in the neighborhood that they loan you money. They tell everybody they know how much you owe them. And that hurts more than it helps. Paul has made it clear that agape love is more important than spiritual gift. In this passage, he explains exactly what agape is. Love is that which connects us to God and one another, like the blood that circulates through the body's veins, carrying oxygen and nutrients from cell to cell. So love also brings us into a life-giving relationship with God and with one another. And that is what Paul is trying to explain to them as he talks to them concerning love, the greatest gift of all. That's why he says in verse 4, charity suffereth not and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and not puffed up. Love suffereth long, or love endures patiently the errors, the weaknesses, even the meanness. Love endures it all. Love makes us slow to anger or repay hurt for hurt. You know, it will suffer many things for the sake of relationship. Love is kind, kindness, slow to anger. Love envieth not. It does not earnestly covet it another's good fortune. Love does not get angry at another's success. Love does not envy those who are who have been successful by God. Love vaunteth not. That means love does not brag, doesn't talk about itself. It's not boastful. Love is not stuck up. Love does not have a swollen head, and it's not puffed up. It's not snobberish, or love is not arrogant. Loving some people and esteeming others higher than others. That's what we do in a lot of cases. We say we love everybody, but then there are some folk you put on a higher list than everyone else. You need to check your love situation. Verse 5. Love does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Love is never rude. It is full of grace and charm. It does not go around hurting other folks' feelings. Love always uses tact and politeness whenever possible. Love never demands its rights, but seeks its responsibility toward others. It is not self-centered or self-aggressive. Love does not fly off the handle. It does not lose its temper. It is not easily exasperated at people. Love does not keep the books on the wrongs that people do. Love does not keep score in order to repay wrong for wrong, or to keep score to how many times I've helped you. Love forgets the evil that people do to it. It does not carry a grudge. I'm talking about agape love. I'm not talking about that stuff that we call love. I'm talking about real love. That's the greatest gift of all, real love. And that gift is a two-way gift. Not only is it a gift to the others, but it's a gift to yourself. Because here, love is esteemed higher than all the spiritual gifts. So no matter how many spiritual gifts that you may have, and having spiritual gifts is a great thing, is a wonderful thing, it is a marvelous thing. But if you don't have love, if you don't exercise those gifts in love, then they are totally meaningless. In verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love does not like to hear about the moral failures of others, does not get pleasure out of the misfortune of others. Love does not gossip. There is a sick joy from witnessing or hearing gossip about the misdeeds of others or the trouble that others are going through. We often judge our own righteousness and our own well-being as measured by the failings of others. We look at other people and we judge them and we say, thank God I'm not like that. And that's good, you're not like that. But you also ought to add to that, thank God I'm not like that, and praise God that he will help that person get better. However, love is happy. Love is happy to hear the truth. Love is happy to do what's right, no matter how painful it is. Love rejoices what is true, what is correct, and what is righteous. When righteousness wins the day, regardless of how many imperfect people it goes through, love gets the joy. Verse 7. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endures all things. If God is love and he created all things good, then love also is the progenitor of all things good. Love is our participation in God's nature. Thus, love is the only foundation for Christian community and relationship. Love, like God, is eternal. It breathes. It goes through time. It has errors. It has faults. But love still remains. Love does not expose one's weaknesses because it does not rejoice in the misfortune of those weaknesses. Yet it does not exercise sin or wrongdoing because it is equally rejoicing in the truth. Instead, as Christ bore our sins on the cross, we take on the weaknesses and the faults of others as though they were our very own. Love believes the best and trusts in the object of love, its confidence in him or her, and gives credit to the object of love that may not be self-evident except through the eyes of love. You see, I guess the best illustration for that is a little baby, a little child, who cannot say, I love you. But you can see the expression in their eyes. And that's the type of thing he's talking about here, the expression of love in your eyes. Not just because you're doing it because you just want to do it, but you have that expression of love in your eyes when it's done. Love can bear all things because it believes all things with the special insight that only a loving relationship can bring. Love hopeth with joy, full of confidence, eager expectation for the salvation of the Lord to come. It bears all things because it believes with only the insight of God, the Maker. Thus, it can wait for the true nature of people to reveal itself. Love trusts in the eventual reconciliation with God. It endureth and continues to present itself in ways in which we have our being. In verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there is prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there is tongues, they shall cease. Whether there is knowledge, it shall vanish away. Love is eternal. It never comes to an end. It is absolutely permanent. Whereas all the gifts in which the Corinthians pride themselves are transitory at best, love is not. Love exists only in and for relationship, yet it is more than the sum of its parts. Like life itself, it is always renewed, even in the age to come. The gifts, on the other hand, have no such guarantee. They are given by the Spirit as instruments to be used in his age. Paul anticipates that these gifts will no longer be needed when the next age occurs, marked by the returning of Christ and the fulfillment of the reign of God. They will pass away with the old age. Love, on the other hand, is eternal and instrumental. It will never pass away. In contrast, when all prophecy has been fulfilled, tongues will no longer be necessary as a language. Signs, missions, and knowledge will all vanish because there will be no more need for mysteries. And that's it in verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Love, like God, is complete. On the other hand, we are imperfect creatures who can only comprehend reality, both material and spiritual, in an incompetent manner. We look at things still in this mortal body. Therefore, we can only preach or we can only prophesy in an imperfect and partial way. For Paul, the kingdom of God is near, but not yet. It is not fully revealed in this age, so our knowledge and our prophecy of it can only be partial. Verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. The perfect maturity or completeness will come with the end of this present imperfect age and the beginning of the new perfect age, namely the kingdom of God. Paul describes the time that the Corinthians lived in a transitory state. Thus, they should not make gods or idols out of the gifts they esteem so highly, because their gifts are both imperfect and their gifts are temporary. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away those childish things. Paul uses the metaphor of the maturing spiritual human being who grows from childhood to adulthood. The spiritual gifts become more toys or childish things in people who do not love. Paul, who had called the Corinthians babes in Christ, tried them once again to grow up and put away their toys, put away those childish things, in this case, using their gifts for the wrong reason. And that's some of the things that we need to do today in the house of God, not just the spiritual gift, but in all things that we do. We need to mature. We need to grow up in Christ. Stop being babes in Christ. Nothing wrong with a babe in Christ, but at some point you got to grow up, just like in real life. And as you grow up in life, you begin to look at things from a more pragmatic way, you begin to see things from a more realistic concept, and you don't have that same childish concept of what religion is. And that's why so many of our people have been strayed away, because we have so many different kinds of voodooism and witchcraft and all kind of crazy things going on in our religion. And people will say, well, I don't know what to believe. Well, that's a lie. You believe what the words say. No matter what somebody else says, you believe in what the words say. Grow up. Stop being easy to be persuaded. Have some stability in your belief and in your thought. In verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. The word translated glass is another form of mirror. In other words, we see through a mirror. Mirrors are a primary industry in the city of Corinth. Mirrors made in Corinth were finely polished, silver and bronze. The image was often concave and distorted, much like the amusement park House of Horrors. Thus, we see only dimly through this distorted reflection of our own limited apprehensions. However, when Christ returns and God makes his dwelling place among people, we will see face to face. It will become clear to us. When we look through the mirror, we will see only a reflection of ourselves and have a knowledge that is filtered through our own senses. However, when we come face to face with another, we see clearly, and we are also seen clearly. We not only become known, but we also become known to others. In verse 13, and now abide faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. After everything that has been said, we come to the conclusion of this matter. Spiritual gifts are transient, given to a particular community, for a particular purpose, for a particular time. It is childish to esteem them too highly. However, by faith, we are served according to the grace of God. In hope, we wait upon the return of Christ and the coming of the reign of God. All this is due to God's love for us. These are what remain when one matures in Christ. However, when Jesus returns, the reign of God is fulfilled. We have no need of hope. When we stand face to face with God and clearly see all that there is to see, then we will have no need to have any fear. Yet we will continue to love and be loved by God. Love never ends. It is eternal. Love has revealed itself completely in the revelation of Jesus Christ, in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection. Thus we can love the Holy One. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what our lesson is about tonight. Our lesson is about the love. Do you have agape love? See, the Holy Spirit is the source of all of the spiritual gifts. And he decides which gifts each person will have. 1 Corinthians 12 and 11. The spiritual gifts are given to strengthen other believers, not to gain personal status or position. The gifts themselves should not be our primary focus. Love is an essential element in the exercise of spiritual gifts. It is good to desire spiritual gifts. However, love is superior to every gift. Prophecy, knowledge, and a demonstration of great faith must all reflect a genuine love and affection for people. Websites and bookstores abound with assessments of to help people discover their spiritual gift. While the understanding and use of spiritual gifts are important, always exercise those gifts in love. We must also realize that without love, we have not done what the Lord has asked us to do. So love is the key, beloved. Love is the understanding. Love surpasses all the other spiritual gifts, because the other spiritual gifts will pass away. In verse 7, Paul writes that love bears and believes and hopes and endures all things. His use of language implies that love does these things all the time. Love breathes all things. It covers and protects. Love believes all things. It has faith and order, and it has faith in others, and always willing to give the benefit of the doubt. Whenever you give people the benefit of the doubt, you're showing love. Love hopeth all things. It does not despair, but is always hopeful for the growth and the development of others and believers in your church. A lot of times we're not concerned about how well your pew member grows in Christ, but if you love them, then you are concerned about their Christian walk. Love endures all things. It communicates a strong sense of enduring, during temptation and during testing. Love does not retaliate or reject, but love is patient. Paul highlights the character of love as it should be expressed by all Christians. His description of love is active, indicating that love is something one does, not merely an emotion. As Christians who have received the love of God, we are to love others. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit empowers us to demonstrate this kind of love. That's our lesson for tonight. The greatest gift of all, the gift of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever would believe in him would never perish, but have an everlasting life. The love that God gave us is the same love that we should share with one another. I'm getting ready to open up the phone lines tonight. There may be some who would like to expound on the lesson, who have something to say about the lesson. You don't have to. I simply call your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. If you're just listening, you can just say, I'm just listening, and we'll move right on. You're not obligated to speak at all. However, I do give you the opportunity to do so. Let's go to the phone lines. Area code 919. Last two digits, 2699. Are you on the line? 2699.
Yes, I am. This is Jenny
Kevin. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are y'all? All I just want to say is this was a good lesson, and I just pray that God gives me that agape love for everybody.
Amen. 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 Area code 919, last four digits, 3263. 3263. Are you on the line? 3263.
They
all right. Maybe so. All right. I got you there. Let's go there. 919 2329. Are you on the line?
That's a good evening to everyone. I am Sister Janice. The lesson, wonderful lesson, for this time of year and throughout the year and throughout our life. And I am going to go back and reread this again as I've read it before. But sometimes you have to read stuff two or three times, and it jumps off the page at you sometimes. But I did enjoy the lesson.
Amen. Thank you so very much, First Lady. Let's go back to area code 919-3263. Are you on the line? 3263. All right. Let's go to 910-5088. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
How are you tonight?
Fine, and you?
How's Mother doing?
She's doing good. She's still doing therapy, and she's coming along real good. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure is.
Please
Thanks
give her my
asking.
Love. Please give her my
I
love.
I sure will.
Anything you'd like to say on the lesson?
No, I don't have anything to say. I just think it was a very good lesson. It was very good lesson on love. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you so very much. Let's go to area code 919, last four digits, 2534. 2534. Are you on the line?
Good evening, Pastor Rogers.
Hey, how you doing, Deke?
Pretty good. First of all, I'd like to say thank God for the preacher and teacher of the word tonight on this lesson on love, and I really appreciate the way it was broken down. Like First Lady has said, you can hear it several times, but then you hear it another way, or you reread it again for yourself a few times, and it just opens new roads of avenues of learning in your mind and in your heart. And I really thank you for this lesson tonight.
Amen.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Deacon. 919. Go ahead. Go right ahead.
I would also like to say happy birthday to my helpmeet on tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Happy birthday.
Amen. 919-2314. 2314. Are you on the line?
Yes, sir. This is Ms. Mangum.
Good evening, Ms. Mangum.
Good evening. I enjoyed the study tonight, and I guess I have just a couple words. Christian love.
Mm-hmm.
Respect for others. And then, you know, I always say love is an action word, you know.
Uh-huh. Right.
And, you know, we already said, I think, about love is kind. Love is patient. And I was reading, and it was saying that agape love is perfect,
mm-hmm.
unconditional, sacrificial, and is pure. And so, you know, God's love for everyone, you know, could be thought of as his merciful love. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, God does not immediately punish us for our sins. You know, God gives us opportunity to repent.
Yes, right. That's right. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. 919-6615. Are you on the line? I think that was that's Sister Janice. No. 6615.
Yes.
Oh, how you doing?
Good evening. Good evening. I'm good.
Wonderful, wonderful.
I'm
Y'all
good.
Did a wonderful job last Sunday.
Oh, bless you. Thank the Lord. I just wanted to say I enjoyed the lesson on love because I think there's something with the world that we could just use more of. You know, I had a situation with a neighbor that was hard to love. You know,
mm-hmm.
She recently, you know, passed away, and I always wondered. I kind of understand a little more about agape love, even though I don't think I'm there yet. But I understood that I would be able to still do things for her, favors for her, and talk to her and just not, you know, really say anything ugly or anything because she was sick and she was in pain a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And by me being, you know, healthy and everything, I didn't know what that felt like. So I kept
mm-hmm.
trying to just show her love, you know, just show her love. And even when she said something ugly or she would, you know, say a cuss word or whatever, and I would still, you know, I leave her alone for a couple of days, and then I would show her, you know, still show her love. And so it really hit home with me tonight because it was just like maybe it's probably been right there before Thanksgiving when she passed. And it,
mm-hmm.
it kind of helped me to understand about the love mm-hmm. that I was showing her. It was something
mm-hmm.
really special from God that I was able to do that because she was away. Were you always in pain? I don't know how, you know, everybody don't know how to, you know, I guess I'm trying to say everybody don't really know how to approach a person like that, like keep loving them and keep, you know,
mm-hmm.
when they're cussing and sometimes being mean and, you know, for no reason and hurting your feelings. But you still helping them. You still helping because you know that that's what God wants you to do. And you're just trying to show them love. You know, love
Amen.
Is what it was about. And so that hit home with me. I really enjoyed that lesson.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
It is hard to love mean cussing folks. I tell you, that's hard
yeah.
to do. But, you know, through the power of the Holy Spirit, We have to ask God to give us the stability to be able to deal with that. You know, it's just like dealing with pain sometimes, dealing with pain. And some people know how to deal with pain, and some people can't. And sometimes we have to ask God for the strength to deal with certain things in order to show that agape love that he asked us to show. Deacon Taylor, I want to come back to you. Deacon Taylor, there are some of the characteristics of love that we express to one another. Do you think that this love that we express on a regular basis, I'm not talking about the genuine agape love, because more than likely a lot of percentage of the time we miss that. But do you think the love that we show most people today is coming for self-gratification?
Yeah.
Did you address me, sir?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's sad to say that so many people in this world, and I'm talking about Christians, I'm talking about everybody, and that includes the Christian race. We have become there's a gray area, it seems like, in this world today, and that even affects us in the church, and there's a gray area is that real love, genuine love, agape love, or the love just I'm gonna do this to get by today, or I'm gonna do this to for whatever benefits me. Not saying it happens all the time, but there are times, because we can get so caught up in how the world is, and knowing that we should be separate and we should have a separate standard, and that the world can see how we're different. A lot of times, John on the street, you know, he can see one person who may be halfway in church, halfway out of church, and judge everybody that goes to church or that's in church or a Christian by that same manner. And it seems like we, as Christians, we continue to just let that happen. We let it go. But there is true and genuine love in the church and with Christians. That's about the way I can explain it.
You know, one of the things that we have to understand is that as leaders in the house of God, we have to believe that people's love is genuine. We can't do our jobs if we don't believe that, even if it's not. We have to believe that it is. As a pastor, I have to believe that people's love is genuine. I know that people have agendas. I know people have ulterior motives. But as a leader, I cannot allow myself to think otherwise because I would not be effective doing what I'm supposed to do. So there are times when you know that the love that you receive is not genuine, but you receive it and you pray that the person who gives that love will always remain that type of person that will help fight of what they are doing on the other end. And what I mean by that is I remember, let me give you a little example. It might not be a good example, but many years ago, I think I was in my 20s, I had a friend. I borrowed $25 or $30 from him to go to a job interview. I needed some gas. And do you know that rascal? I paid him back about 3 days after. But do you know that rascal, even today, if he saw me, he said, man, you would have never got that job if I hadn't give you that money. You remember that time I loaned you that money? He always bring that up. He always throw that in my face. And when I was doing better, I assumed he did that because he wanted me to give him something. You know, he wanted me to give him out of the fact that he helped me a few years ago. He wanted me to help him now, you know. And it was just an enlightening experience for me to have that happen to me. Even though I paid him back. I mean, I paid it back within 3 or 4 days of the time that I borrowed. I think it might be $30, I think it was. I paid him back that same week almost. But he never let me forget that I wouldn't have never got the job that I got if he never gave me that money to get some gas. That's amazing, isn't it? That's truly amazing.
Yes, sir. But you know, that still happens today, and I'm pretty sure any of the listeners that are tuning in tonight, you know, probably have a similar story. And just as soon as we admit openly, inwardly and outwardly that, you know, we're Christians, people will always do that. The world will always do that to us. And like you said, we have to, even if we're not in leadership, we still have to be the bigger person and not hold a grudge or not get upset or mad because they treated us a certain way or brought back a certain memory. We have to be that better Christian, and we have to, you know, take that as a learning example to, you know, how we need to, you know, continue to stair step, continue going forward, you know, and our Christian race.
Amen. First Lady, this passage of scripture or a piece of that scripture I often use in the marriage ceremony, talking about love. I know you're married to a handsome, wonderful man.
All right.
But is love ever tested? Is love ever tested? Tell the truth.
And the question is, Pastor?
Is love ever tested?
Yes, sir. Every day. Every day. Big or small. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. And my take on that is, as you often do tell me, that you love me. You tell me a lot. But then sometimes I'll speak for me. Rather than saying it, I want you to show me. Because the show me speak volume more than the telling me. So,
right.
So yes, sir, it's tested daily. Yes, sir.
Amen. Ms. Mangum, you've been married for a while. I'd ask you the same question. Is love ever tested?
Yes. Just like First Lady said, every day. Praise God.
Well, that's good to know. That's good to know. Because it is a ongoing thing. It's always living. It's always breathing. It's always moving. And we must also remember that it's only through the Spirit of God that we are able to do these things. Sister Janice, I want to come back to you with another question. One of the things that Paul wanted to talk about in this letter was the fact that they esteem spiritual gifts over love. Do you see that happening in the church today as well? Not maybe in First Baptist, but in the church in general.
Can you explain that a little bit more?
What Paul was saying was that, you know, some people pride themselves on the fact that they speak in tongues, or they pride themselves on the fact that they're prophets, or they pride themselves on the other spiritual gifts that they have. But Paul is saying is that without love, those gifts are meaningless. So my question is, in the church in general, not just First Baptist, but in the church in general, from your observation, do you still see people esteeming gifts over love?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I mean, I'm getting that question wrong, but saying that if they don't have love within the heart, how can they speak in these unknown tongues? That's
right.
That's what you're saying.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
I don't see no way they can. I mean, I'm not here to judge, because I don't know what the Lord is doing for them. But when you speak in tongues, the Bible says that you're supposed to have an interpreter there to say what you said, right or wrong. Am I right? Okay, so if it's happening in First Baptist, I'm not saying that, and nobody's there to interpret it. How do I know that you're telling me God wants me, what God wants the church to know? And if he ain't telling the church what he wants you to know, how is that showing love? Because that's what he is. And he's going to tell you exactly what it is that to
to be known, I think. Now,
that's
I might
right.
have got the question wrong. But
no, you did right. You did. You answered the way you wanted to answer. That's the way you answered. I'm gonna ask the same question to Deaconess Rainey. Deaconess Rainey, did you hear the question?
Yes, I did.
What do you think?
Yes, I think some people do get lost in the spiritual gifts and let that take over. And once they do that, love disappears because they're valuing their gift more than actually love. They're doing more to the title, and they're when they do that, love disappears.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, I think you're absolutely right. That's one of the things that Paul wanted to stress over to them, because they were esteeming people who had spiritual gifts. In other words, if you were a person who had a spiritual gift, you got to sit up front. Your name was called often. You were somebody in that church because you had a spiritual mm-hmm. gift. But if you didn't have a spiritual gift, then you were a nobody in the church. What Paul is simply saying is that the people who maybe didn't have spiritual gifts had love. And if the person who had a spiritual gift did not have love, then the person without the spiritual gift is just as important as the person who has a spiritual gift. You know, and that's what we have to understand today. You know, those gifts are transient. You know, people don't understand it. Those gifts can be given and they can be taken. You know, some prophets have even said that. They have gone years without a prophecy. It just dried up. But love never dries up. It's always there. So that's why love is more superior than spiritual gifts. So we must understand that today as we continue in our Bible study. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to add before we go on? Well, I thank all of you so very much tonight for being on this call-in tonight for the Bible study. The greatest gift of all is love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Just think what would have happened if it had not been for Jesus. So we thank you tonight, and we pray that you will continue to support the Church of God, and you will continue to give God the glory. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this Bible study tonight. We thank you for each and every person who is on this line. We thank you for the greatest gift of all. That's the gift of love. For you gave us your Son, Jesus Christ, because you loved us. You wanted us to have a better understanding and to have a relationship with him by which way we could come to you. So we thank you right now, God, for your love. We thank you, God, that you love us in spite of who we are. Thank you, God, that you love us in spite of what we do. We thank you, God, that you love us in spite of where we go. God, you just love us. And we thank you tonight for the love that you have shared upon your people. We ask now, God, that you would take care of those who are on our sick list, that you would take care of those who are in the hospital. We pray for our sister-in-law, Joanne Parker. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask the healing will be sent throughout the airwaves to touch her right
thank
now.
Thank you, Lord.
Where she is. Mm-hmm. We ask right now, God, for your blessing upon all people who are going through. Bless them, Father, as we go through this trying time. Even in the midst of a pandemic, Father, we still have faith in you. And we ask now, God, that you will remove all things that hinder us. Keep us strong in our faith. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you tonight. Y'all have a wonderful night. Don't forget, tomorrow, next Tuesday night is our last Bible study before we take our winter break. And tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, we will be interviewing Brother Grady Walston, our musician, songwriter,
amen.
Musician, and recording artist. God bless you. Have a good night.
I love you all. You as well. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
A few weeks ago, I was talking with the elders, minister friend. We were sharing about coming up on as we talked, we was glad that we came on the rough side, because on the rough side it gave us something to hold on to. Now listen.
It's amazing to me.